Thank you for your grace and a full time of worship this morning. Thank you, Janice, for your flexibility and again serving so faithfully this morning as our liturgist and reader. So we rally, we encourage, we inspire for common purpose, for common focus. In the name of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, for how we are, how we live as a people, as God's disciples, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so on this September 8th, 2019, and is not just any other Sunday, it brings in the fullness of traditions linked with the freshness and newness of what God is birthing and rebirthing in this faith community of North Olmsted United Methodist Church. And perhaps like you, as we think about all the things that we do in worship and teaching and fellowship and ministry, it links not only to the great ways in which God is working in this community of faith, but has worked in the past in other communities of faith that you identify with, or have identified with, churches and other communities and towns and states, in which in your earliest memories you can remember those ways in which people taught you and helped you to center and worship, and helped you to be faithful in mission. So it's not just this community of faith. We link to those memories, those experiences of people and places and other faith communities that have shaped us and inspired us to once again rally. Most of my growing up years were in Ada, Ohio, in the northwest part of the state, near Lima and Findlay. Further north is a larger city called Toledo, so if you look at that northwestern quadrant, that's where I did most of my growing up years. Second grade through 12th grade, where my father taught at Ohio Northern University and my mother was a teacher in the public schools. The center of our life, though, beyond the university and beyond her teaching in the schools and my experience and learning there at Ada Elementary, Junior High, and High School, was centered in the church at Ada First United Methodist Church at 301 North Main Street. During those years, I had the privilege and the honor and the crisp memories of the earliest that I have the most crisp memories of were my third grade teacher and my seventh, eighth grade pastor who taught me through confirmation. And then as I would go on to college years and come back, I would enjoy seeing the people, not only that third grade teacher, that United Methodist Youth Fellowship couple, adult team that helped me through high school years, and pastors. It was always a good coming home to Ada First United Methodist to remember how that place had groomed me, how it shaped me in more ways than I ever knew at the time. That church was built in 1852 in a small wooden house that later fell apart, and then in 1868, they took that faith community to a larger house, and they lived in that for a while, and then they were able, through the faithfulness of the people, to build that old stone church in 1899, Ada First United Methodist Church. And so generations had come before me to teach, to worship, to encourage and mission, not only in that church, but their outreach in that small community to the schools, to the university, and beyond as people established their lives. I was on vacation on March 13, 2012, sitting in warm, hot sun by a pool, relaxing with my family, and I got one of the worst phone calls that I've ever gotten in my life. It was my sister, and she was choked up and tearfully said that our church had burned to the ground. And bless her heart, people surrounded her and they encouraged her. We all make mistakes, but we're healed and we're encouraged by that. A woman innocently during that season of Lent had left a candle burning in the sanctuary, and that old wooden structure along with the stone went all the way to the ground. People rallied around her to support her, to let her know this was really, really, really not your fault, and offered extension and home again so that she continued to learn and heal and be taught and still an active member of that church. And so she, along with others, were committed somehow, some way, to build a new church. She was invested in that with her time, her interests, and her money. They rallied to rise up in the Shema, the ancient words from Deuteronomy, precious out of Jewish tradition, centering in prayer and confession for them, but also as Christians. Hear, O Israel, hear, O Ada First, hear, O North Olmsted United Methodist. I am the Lord your God, the only Lord our God. Love the Lord with all your might, your heart, your strength, with all that you are, and teach that. And so you see, she received the encouragement to rise up, to receive that teaching again, to put the past behind, and to help others to live in that hope and that joy. And to live into the Great Commission, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, of all nations, honoring and praising our baptism, and offering other opportunities for others to be baptized into the faith and to live into the faith. And remembering through all of those experiences, through fire, through ashes, through stuff in our lives, through joy or concern, God rises up over and over again with the Israelites as they would establish kingdoms, and then they would be destroyed, and they would be wayward, and they would be wandering, and God would be faithful and receive the arm back. And as the disciples would doubt, they would still worship, and they would remain faithful. And they would build those early churches that we learn about in the book of Acts. And from one generation to another, it would continue to the place in which we also have here, in the micro, but also in the macro of God's universe. You see, all of us bring these experiences of being down, but also rising up. And we point to people who taught us and remain pillars to remain constant in our rally together. Before that church was finally built, again, 3 years later, they made it in the goal. In March of 2015, in that original spot where they're learning and praising God together, I was back in the year that it burned, my 35th high school reunion. And I needed to have a private moment. After the reunion, I drove by the church, and it was late at night, and I parked my car, and I looked at the ground, and it was gray, and it was dark. But I envisioned new life again that would come 3 years later. I didn't know it at the time, but I lived in that hope and that promise of those who taught and learned and sought to continue to teach and learn and worship. And so I literally walked the perimeter and the inside of the church, and I imagined where my third grade teacher taught me, and I imagined where my confirmation class was and what I was doing, and I imagined where I was baptized and where I was confirmed, and where two pastors brought my wife Terry and me into holy matrimony. A place that is my life. And I felt moved. I can't tell you why. But not only was I praying for these people and the hope for the future, but I was giving thanks and gratitude to God for them. And I found myself on my knees and kissing the very ground of these wonderful saints who have had, through their lives and commitments, made part of who I am today. I would never have received my call to ministry, to accept Jesus Christ and to walk in the faith of God and the leading and power of the Holy Spirit with brothers and sisters in Christ, and then to rise up even further with a call to ministry, to not be to or for the people, but with the people, as we're all called in different ways to minister. And I center on this one person in telling you that story. And it was Katie Cracker. She lived 93 years old. Someone said, can you think about one person beyond your parents that shaped you to continue to rally over and over again? It was Katie Cracker. She taught me the Shema. She taught me how to love the Lord and the Lord God only, and do that with all my strength and heart, as a third grader can understand, and begin to ask questions, and then passing the baton to the middle schoolers as I joined them until high school, it was Katie. Who is that Katie Kreider for you? In this church, or in your experiences before, that planted the seeds of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, to have you pondering and questioning but living your faith, that helped to build your faith. Who was that person, and who are those people now? To your left, to your right, behind you, and in front of you, that lead us to Ralph. Now, if someone say that I'm being overly optimistic about our experiences in life and faith and the rise and fall and things that burn but then are given a new life, and that I would attribute so much of that to a teacher or teachers, the bricks and mortar of our church, our communities of faith, when we look at the landscape and what's going on with United Methodism and other mainline denominations, can we really be hopeful with that? Can we have a bright future? And I believe that we can, and that we will, and that out of, it was that dramatic, I know, for me, and it was for others, that out of the actions of a decision that shocked many of us. Now, not all of us are on the same page, but many are. The decision of the special session of General Conference, when they decided to uphold those exclusive ways in which we don't allow anyone of the LGBTQ community to have equal say, equal inference, equal opportunity to learn, to teach, to worship, to explore call, that we're going to be emphatic in our traditions. And we're going to, in my opinion, out of context, misunderstand and misconstrue the scriptures. And not only misconstrue them around human relationships and sexuality and how we are created in the image of God and how we are to live and share our sin, but there was a faction of our church that if they want to admit it or not, that uses the scripture as a hammer, as a bully pulpit, and not as a means of grace and openness. And so we wrestle, and yes, we argue, and we agree to disagree, but God finds a way to rebirth and reshape us in every time and every generation. And so the focus of our conference this year, that is led by the Reverend Adam Hamilton at Church of the Resurrection, over 22,000 members, there's still over 22, he's had some attrition over this issue. I'll have the honor and privilege as your pastor, along with strong lay people in this church, with Andy and Alice Walsh, to journey as other pastor and lady from other churches with the entire conference dedicated to how are we going to deal and wrestle with this issue and find what builds us in common for the love of the Lord and our Lord alone, with all our soul and with all our heart and with all our might. And to live as that Sunday school teacher taught me, to go and make disciples in joy. And to remember that Jesus, as Janice reminded us in Scripture, is with us always to the end of the age in every time and place. Church, we will get through this. Something will be born again and rebirthed. Just when you think everything is lost in the micro for yourselves, with this issue and others, and you think like all is lost, with your families, with your loved ones, with community, wondering about this church and its future, wondering about our extended church, and even maybe the faith of Christianity, God remains faithful, and we are called to walk faithfully with God in that. And so that entire conference will be dedicated to this issue, and as Andy and Alice and I come back and we hear and we listen attentively, and we dialogue, we'll bring back to you, hopefully, conversation that will finally go full circle to what it counts, what we're doing in those Sunday school classes, what we're doing in worship, what we'll do in the sacrament of Holy Communion, what we'll do in our fellowship as we even eat the pulled pork barbecue, and we thank God for the gifts that God has given us. We will rise up in timeless, timeless teachings. holding on to those timeless teachings and how they're modeled in community, in love and care and support, and remember that God in Jesus Christ is with you through all of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.